Welcome, and thanks for listening to the Well Church Teaching Podcast. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. and would love for you to join us. We hope you will be blessed by our teachings, and as always, we want you to know that God loves you.
This is amazing. I want you and that young man to tie that knot. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he helped Joshua fight the battle of Jericho. Yes. He helped Daniel get out the lion's den. He helped Gilligan get off the island. Lord.
I want to talk to you now.
That's the excitement that I want you to have for this series. Okay, I want you to be that excited, but I also want you to understand my 16th wedding anniversary was on Friday. Round of applause. Come on. You have to. Because every day other than my anniversary, that face that that lady was making is the face that Wendy usually makes of me. Like, just, are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? And so she gets a round of applause for putting up with me for 16 years. Yes. Literally, one of my neighbors, one of the ones I have not run off yet, yelled across the street at me yesterday, how does she do it? I don't know. So it was good. It was really good. So today, hey, what we're going to do today, if you're visiting with us, I just want to share with you that we're going to be doing things a little bit different today. We're just going to start a series and do an introduction series to love, sex, and marriage, right? We're going to talk about this for this entire month. This might not fit, and we might overflow into the first week of March, so if that happens, just too bad. It's just more love, all right? More sex, more marriage. You should enjoy that, and you should like it. So it's going to be good, but today we're going to dip our toes into this series, and I just kind of want to give you a roadmap of where we're going. And I want to start with the book. We passed out these books. Does anybody have their book with them? You didn't have to bring it. Raise it up if you brought it, all right? We're going to go through this book called The Love Dare. The Love Dare, and last week we had about 50 copies of them out there, and if you took those, that's great. If you took two copies and you're a couple, not shame on you, but bring one back so we can share the love with other people. If you didn't get one, you can pick it up on Amazon. I also want to share this with you as we dive into this series. If you are here and you're single, or you're divorced and you're single, or you're a widower, or you're widowed, or whatever, you just are not married at this point in your life, or you're a child like some of you guys up front, all right? You're not children, but you're kids. They looked at me like, really, old man? All right. I've been there. If you are single at this point in your life, my point is this. On Amazon, there are also Love Dare books for singles, engaged couples, divorced people. They have it for all seasons of life, and I would encourage you to grab that. And I've had multiple questions. I've had some people text me and ask me, like, how are we going to make this book work with the sermon series? And someone texted me yesterday, one of my friends said, when are we supposed to start the book? And I was like, I apparently have not done an amazing job at telling you what we're going to do. What I want you to understand is this. We're not going to go chapter by chapter through this with the series. It just does not work that way. But this is just going to be a tool, a book to come alongside the series for you and your spouse, or for you, yourself, and God to do together to grow and strengthen your marriage. I think it'll be something to come alongside what we're doing, and it'll be powerful. It's a powerful book. I have not read the whole thing, which you're like, really? Yeah, I haven't, because I love a lot to do, and I can't read very well. All right? But I've read enough of it, and I've checked it out, and I've skimmed it, and it's good stuff. And I know that my marriage needs it, even though I would say, I'm not bragging, but my marriage is thriving. We have issues just like everybody else, but it will still be an amazing and huge help to us. So what I'm saying is this. Start reading this with your spouse each day. It's an important book. It can do something to your marriage. It can strengthen it. It could heal it. It could just rekindle passion and intimacy, or maybe just start some discussions that need to happen, because some of you that have been married for a while, maybe even a lot longer than me, you know that sometimes things just break down in any relationship. Things just happen, right? So I am daring you to do this. Today, this is the biggest thing I want you to get from this morning's teaching, is that God wants to take this book along with the Bible and along with the teachings that we're going to go through, and he's going to challenge you and strengthen your marriage relationship. And I know that some of you, because I have this too sometimes, are like, oh gosh, right? It's like a big thing, like to think about your marriage and think about your relationship and to think about some of the discussions and some of the things that are going to resurface and bubble up to the top when you start doing this. It's a little nerve-wracking. But some of that stuff has to take place for God to do his work. I want to read what the introduction to this book says, because I think it kind of nails this down. It says this. It says, receive this as a warning. That's a great way to start a book. Receive this as a warning. It says, this 40-day journey cannot be taken lightly. It is a challenging and often difficult process, but an incredibly fulfilling one. To take this dare requires a resolute mind and a steadfast determination. It is not meant to be sampled or briefly tested, and those who quit early will forfeit the greatest benefits. If you will commit to a day at a time for 40 days, the results could change your life and your marriage. Consider it a dare from others who have done it before you. All right? And I want to just bring this up because I am a guy, and I know sometimes that guys are like, well, this is just like frou-frou marriage, just junk that I don't want to do. Raise your hand if that's where you're at. Okay, a few of you, that was a joke, and now you're in a lot of trouble, and you will definitely be reading a few of the chapters with your spouse. Guys, come on, you got to know better than that. But you need to do it, all right? Don't think of it as some frou-frou thing, something that's like not important. Don't blow it off, guys. Don't be like, oh, I'm too manly for this, or I'm too cool for this. It is just as important for us as it is for our wives to do, or our girlfriends, or our fiancés. It is so important, maybe so much for us, because as guys, we're like, I don't have feelings. We just have one feeling. It's anger, right? Like, it's like, that's all I have, or just coolness, or whatever. I want you to go through this. I dare you to do it. I dare you to challenge yourself to do it and to make it happen. And spouses, you have full authority to beat them over the head with the book to do it, or threaten them and call me and I will make them do it. Here's one of the dares, all right? One of the days. It's nothing hard other than just being realistic and open with the person that you love and gave your life to in the name of God. No pressure. But it says this. Day 10 says, love is unconditional. Do something out of the ordinary today for your spouse. Something that proves to you and to them that your love is based on your choice and nothing else. Wash your car. If Wendy washes my Jeep, I'll know she loves me. Right? Clean the kitchen. Like the whole thing. Right? Every time I clean our kitchen, Wendy's like, you didn't clean the kitchen. You didn't do the countertops. I did the dishes. Countertops will clean themselves. Buy his favorite dessert. That's always a good one. Fold the laundry. Guys, if you fold the laundry for your wife, I have done this, and Wendy either thinks I am drunk, have lost my mind, or I did something really bad. If you do it out of love only, things will change in your marriage. Demonstrate love to them for the sheer joy of being their partner in marriage. All right, that's just one of the chapters, and it's just one of the things, and there's some scripture to go through. I think it's going to be a very powerful thing, because I know in this room, and I love you guys to death, but I know that there are marriages, like I said, that are thriving, and I know that some of you are in marriages that have some issues. Every marriage has issues and all kinds of struggles and problems, because marriage is hard. Amen? Where are my married folks? Raise your hand if you're married. I just want you to see this. Wow. Like, most of the room is married. Raise your hand again if you think marriage is hard from time to time. Yes. Some of you, just one of you raised your hand. So there you go. Proved it. Proved it. All right? Marriage is hard, but it's worth it. Amen? It's very much worth it. It's how God designed things. But we're going to go through this as a tool alongside of this. So it's for 40 days. So I would encourage you, if you haven't already started, and if you have, that's fine, just grab the book today, right? Or maybe start tomorrow, whatever you want to do. Read the chapters. There are a couple pages. It will not take you that long. And then do the dares for each other and see what happens. And I don't want you to just keep this to yourself. Some of it is going to be bedroom stuff, so keep that to yourself, because that's just gross. All right? But the stuff that you can share it in your home churches. Share it, you know, like on your Facebook or your Twitter, just like God is moving in this way. And then hashtag it, love dare, and maybe challenge other people in your circles of influence to work on their marriages, because everybody that you know could use this. Even if your marriage is awesome and perfect, maybe if you just got married and you're like, this is rad, it would just be a good start, and it's only going to make things better. So that's the book. About the teaching, about our series, what we're going to do, I want to give you a roadmap of where we're going to go, because it's love, sex, and marriage. So next week, we're going to do this out of order. But we're going to start by talking about marriage. God designed marriage. He invented it. He created us, and he created marriage to put us together, to become one flesh, to become one person, to love each other. But I want you to understand, we're going to look at marriage and the gospel. And the living gospel is who, church? Jesus. Three people know it. Okay, great. Jesus is the living gospel. the story, the gospel, the good news is Jesus. But Jesus in the gospel, Jesus has a lot to say about marriage and what marriage is a picture of. It's a picture of God and his church. We are the bride of Christ. It's not just our relationship, but it correlates with God and Jesus being in the middle, and it has everything to do with love. And in our culture, this is not going to be a series where we slam the culture on love, and it's not going to be there's an attack on marriage. We're not doing that. We're going to look at what God defines as love and marriage and how that is supposed to work through our relationships and through him. Because many of us in this room have been raised in a culture that has taught us many things where we're a little blurry about what really love is and about what marriage is supposed to be, because the culture constantly changes on those two aspects. Or you could go out and survey 100 people and you would get 50 different answers on what love is and what a marriage should look like. But God, from the beginning, has defined it and showed us, and I think it's going to be a lot of good stuff that we get from truth. So today, what I want you to do is just get your mind set on love, is I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've been to any wedding in the last 20 years, they've probably quoted something from 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, and it's quick and it's short, but I just want you to see this, what Paul wrote about love. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. It says this: if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Look at this last verse with me. If you haven't been paying attention, you've been thinking about lunch or the football game, this needs to be in your brain right now. Verse 13 says, three things will last forever. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. Say those with me. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. Church, every single person on the planet, whether they're married or unmarried, needs faith, hope, and love, right? Just to get through the day, you need faith to make it. You need hope that God is going to sustain you, and you need the love of God and the love of his people. What I want you to do this week, alongside the book, The Love Dare, I'm also challenging you just to be ready for next week, talking about the real, godly, biblical definition of love and marriage. Start reading chapter 13 every day. It's not a very long chapter. Just absorb love into your life, the knowledge of love and the truth about what real love from God, the one who designed it and created it, what he says about it. You need faith, hope, and love in your life, but you also need it in your relationship. In your relationship. That's going to be next week. We're going to look and talk about love and marriage. And I want to stop real quick, and I want to just say this. Once again, if you're visiting here or if you're here today and you're like, well, this seems a little different. Today is just an introduction to our series. It's going to be really short. You're going to get to lunch first. Round of applause for that. Come on. Usually we speak a lot and we use the Bible a lot. I bring this up because that's the only scripture we're going to look at today. We love the Bible, and the Bible has a lot to say about all things in life, especially love and sex and marriage. But today, we're just introducing this. I just want you to not leave here if you're visiting, like, well, they don't use the Bible very much, and that guy just talks a lot. I want you to understand, if you come back next week, we will be saturated and dive deep into the Bible and talk about what God says. It's going to be good. So that's marriage and love next week. Who's excited for that? Guys, once again, be like, yes, I'm so excited. All right. Then the next week, this is going to be my favorite day. It's going to be Sex Sunday. Look at your neighbor and say, Sex Sunday.
Sex Sunday.
Yeah. So, yeah, see, the kids are excited about it up front. All right. Here's the thing. Some of you right now are already sweating, like, okay, you can't call it that. You can't say that. Like, you can't put that word on the screen. This is church. This is holy. We can't talk about it. But I am excited about Sex Sunday. I'm also a little nervous to talk about sex for 3.5 hours that day. It's going to be weird. So it's just going to be, it's going to be an uncomfortable thing. But here's what I am excited about. This is how good our God is, right? I talked about this a couple weeks ago because people at church are like, I don't really want to talk about sex or say stuff, right? We like sex. You wouldn't be here, I said, if you didn't, or if someone in your life, your parents, which don't think about that, that'll ruin your whole day. But they did. They enjoy it. God designed sex for marriage and for our enjoyment and for all of these things. And we're going to look at that. But I bring this up because we planned this months ago. The 18th is Sex Sunday, but it's also what? I told you earlier, it's also the chili cook-off is on Sex Sunday. That is going to be one of the best Lord's Days of all time. And if you disagree, I am sorry, and I'm not trying to be crass. I'm just like, God is good. Sex is good. Chili is good. All right? It's just going to be a fun day. And I know that it's uncomfortable. Some people are like, you know, there's certain things, certain topics that we should not bring up at church, or we shouldn't talk about at church, or maybe we should leave those to, like, smaller group settings or Sunday school or small groups or whatever. But here's the thing, church. One of the best compliments I've received in the last couple months about our church, not me, but about our church, is said, you are not uncomfortable. This church is not uncomfortable with bringing up uncomfortable issues. We don't shy away from it. We bring it up. We deal with it. And I want you to understand that sex has become in church like sort of like an untouchable thing where we don't want to talk about it. We're like, and I think it's because the culture has twisted things so much and we're just like, well, there's so many weird issues. But once again, the church is a hospital for sinful, broken people. Amen. And it is also a place where we should be able to come and learn about the truth of God, all of it, not just the easy parts and not just the parts that aren't uncomfortable and don't make your skin crawl and we're like, well, I don't really want to deal with this. Some of us in this room have sexual issues and the ways that we think about sex and marriage are not the way that God wants it. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you're sinful. It just means that God has something better for you, just like he does in every area of your life. So that is why we're going to talk about it. And it will not be 3.5 hours because that would be ridiculous and gross and I would pass out. So that was a joke. But I want you to show up that day. Don't check out and be like, well, that's the day we're not coming. We're not bringing our kids, right? It is a big topic that needs to be discussed. And it is a glorious and holy thing that God created, right? We're not going to make it weird. We're not going to make it just fun. We're going to talk about the truth about it because in our culture, there are so many people that struggle with pornography and all the sinful ideas of sexuality and just whatever they have been taught and they've heard or they learned on the street compared to what God looks at. And I think it's going to be big because I think a lot of sexual issues and issues with sex in marriage causes divorce and problems and breakdowns of communication, if you're being honest. The number one cause of divorce is always what? Do you know? No, it's actually marriage. But then it's money. Then it's money. And then it's usually sex issues and then family issues. So we're going to talk about sex. Look at your neighbor again and say, I can't wait for Sex Sunday. Some of you are like, I'm not saying that. It's just not going to happen. All right, some of you are like, I don't know this person I'm sitting next to. This is the worst church I've ever been to. All right, church is fun. God is fun. All right, sex is good in the context of how it is supposed to work, right? And we're going to look at that because the consequences of sex outside of God's plan, sex and marriage, leads to all kinds of fallout and sinful and dangerous consequences in your life. And we don't want that for you. And then the last week in February, if it doesn't spill over into March, is going to be on divorce and repairing and saving and rebuilding marriages. Because divorce in our culture is also rampant. And I don't just mean outside in the world, inside the church. The divorce rate inside the church is just as high. Some places it's higher than outside of the church. Marriages are falling apart and people are just giving up and they're just going, I'm out. And here's what I want you to hear. If you are here and you have this mindset and it's just in your mind like divorce is where we're headed, or maybe your spouse slept in and they didn't come today, or you guys have already got papers drawn up and you're like, this is just what's going to happen. Divorce is our next step. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to check out. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to preach down at you. What I want you to hear is what God says about you. God says that he hates divorce, right? That's what the Bible says. He hates divorce. But God loves divorced people. I want to say that again. Because if you are divorced, even if you've been divorced a long time ago and you're remarried or you're going through it, or it's just maybe in the back of your mind, but like that's the thing that's going to fix me. It's going to be where I'm at. God hates divorce. But God loves divorced people, all right? God hates divorce because it hurts his children. He designed marriage, and he wants us to be together and have a partner and someone to do life with. And when divorce happens, all kinds of sin and all kinds of pain and all kinds of just tearing apart happens, and that is not how he wanted things. You are his child that he loves. And he doesn't want you to get divorced because he knows how much pain it will cause you. And if you have already gone through that, this could also help you rebuild your relationship maybe with God. Because there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of separation issues that go into that. I said this earlier, we're going to talk about rebuilding your marriage and talking about how important it is to be in a relationship and to rebuild it. Because the picture of marriage is not just about you and your spouse. A picture of marriage to the world is a picture of Jesus and his church. We are married to Jesus. It's an intimate, close relationship. There's a lot of people moving around and people are like getting nervous. It's just the band coming back up. You're all right. And then a few people are going to the restroom, so pray for them. The heaters didn't get turned on. It's cold in there. So we're getting ready to close already. Like I said, it's going to be a short week. We're going to pray. And what I want to do, the band's going to come up and sing, but what I want to do as we close today's service in praising God is I want you to get excited about marriages. I want you to get excited about this series. I want you to take the dare and do the love dare. I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and absorb yourself in the love of God. And I want you to start thinking about what God is going to do in your relationships. So many of us need them to be strengthened. So many of us need them to be healed. So many of us need to work on some of the wounds and the things that have been said or the things we have said. And this is the time that we can do this. We're not just doing this because it's fluffy and it's Valentine's month. We're doing this because God loves marriage and loves married people. And he wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your sex life. And he wants to bless just your life so that you can go out and be a blessing to other people. If you notice in 1 Corinthians 13, it says if you do all these other things, but you don't do it with love for other people, it's worthless. Because we were put on this planet to love God and to love who? Other people. That is the core value, the core teaching of the Well Church. We are here to love God, and then we are here to love other people, starting with your spouse and your kids, then your neighbors, then your coworkers, and then the world. That's what we're here to do, and that's what I'm hoping this series does. So go ahead and stand with me. I'm going to pray, and then the band is going to sing, and then we're going to be dismissed, and you can beat the Lutherans to lunch. Amen. It's a good day. God in heaven, you are awesome. I pray right now over every marriage in this room. I pray over every divorced person in this room. I pray over every single person in this room that you would bless them and that you would love them and that you would draw them close to you. Father, I pray for the married folks in this room that may be struggling and no one knows about it but you and those two people. Pray right now that your restoration and your healing and your love just goes right into their hearts and into their homes and into their minds. Father, I pray that in this month you will do amazing things and that you will be glorified and that your story of love and hope and faith for people will continue to be spread throughout this community. Father, I pray over all of our visitors that are here today. I pray that you bless them for showing up today. I pray that you love them for showing up today. And I pray that they would make this home or this church their home where they could come to learn about you and to love you and to serve with other people. God, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray and who we are going to sing to. Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor Cole from the Well Church. I'm so excited you listened to our podcast. I'd be even more excited to see you in person at a Sunday service at the Well Church. God is moving and doing so much in our church, and we want you to be part of it. You can also give online to the Well Church if you're looking for a way to do that, but we would love to see you and love to have you worship with us any Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Well Church. Have an awesome day, and always remember that Jesus loves you so much.